You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to my house. Yeah. Welcome to my house. Let me tell you about my house. But got a lot of damage on it. A lot of damaged people hanging out. But we patched it up. It looks presentable. If you walked in, you wouldn't know it. We would see it, though. Holes in the wall that have been patched up, art appropriately displayed over them. How did the hole get in the wall? Somebody punched it during a party. Welcome to our house. Why do you have all these stools? Why do you have all these stools in here? Oh, because there's a lot of guys with amputations and they need to sit down. So we got chairs. We never have enough chairs, so we got stools, like along the walls and stuff like that. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. What else is in your house? I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in our house. Why are you committed to your house? Because if you could see the courage and selflessness that we've seen by the guys who hang out here, it's like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like. You can never leave our house. Yeah. That's the problem with our house. You can't leave. It's a life sentence. You and your battle buddies never goes away. So that's our house. So I was thinking, I'm trying to get Jeremiah Workman to come on. Now, for those of you who don't know, who's Jeremiah Workman? Of all the interviews I've done, the interview I did when I was first building this house with Jeremiah Workman still, for me, remains a watershed event for me. One is his commitment to our house. To his, let's see, his candor in talking about everything that he went through, right? And so then I asked him, would you come on and talk about it? He said, yeah, I'll come on and talk about it. So, he's good, and he's a good dude too. he's funny. But what he went through is, I think, very emblematic of what, the warrior culture deals with. And that's what this tribe is. It's a warrior tribe. And let me just tell you, as warrior tribes go, this tribe gets behind nobody. And I've seen it for almost 3 years. You want to get it on, and it's heritage, and we know it. We will get it on all day with you, and we're not leaving. Okay? Yeah, we're not leaving. So we'll take our lumps. We're not leaving, though. And when you're part of an organization like that, it's awesome. I can't tell you. I mean, as unfortunate as it is when the country does go to war, from the time I was a young guy, I was curious about it, and I had the good sense to join the Marine Corps, and I was never so grateful as when I went to Iraq in 2004 to be among men and women who, when you say, let's go. And my first experience with it was moving through the city at night, after the night I got there, and going from one firm base where we landed to another, the businesslike way that people went about what they were doing, right? Whether it was loading weapons, stacking sandbags, you know, getting positioned in trucks and things like that. It's business. It was awesome. And then my next experience was out in Ramadi one night with 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. And we were headed down to the police station, and we stopped about a half mile, and we got out. And I remember asking the Sergeant Major, I said, hey, Sergeant Major, why are we stopping? He said, well, the police know we're coming, so we'll probably get ambushed. I said, that's nice. And but it was simply the way it was. So I remember, you know, we get out, and the squad leader, I think Sergeant, Staff Sergeant, I can't remember, he just looked at his Marines, and he says, all right, heading that way, let's go. If they fuck with us, they die. And there wasn't any consternation. There wasn't any hesitation. All these young guys with clear looks in their eyes. And I just remember looking around thinking, you know what? This is, we could go to Moscow tonight. Let's do this shit. And it was just so intoxicating, to see them. And, you know, so for close to 3 years, I was a part of that. And, I would have, if I had my druthers, I wish I could have experienced life as a Lance Corporal, because they truly have this incredible experience. As you become an officer and you get removed from that, you experience in different ways, but not like they experience it. And so I think most of us that have served have always, as officers, always lamented that, you know, I wish I could have been a Lance Corporal in that situation. And so that's part of it. The other part of it is the Jeremiah Workman part of it, is being part of a warrior culture, going through that, and then coming home to try to be normal in some way, shape, or form. To try to be the guy that your mom and dad, you know that your wife or your girlfriend know, that your kids know, but there's parts of that guy that's changed forever in ways that you don't even understand at that point. And then the struggle to be that guy, to be that dad, to deal with this thing inside of me that I may or may not understand. And so Jeremiah Workman came on, and his story, and I'll give it to you in a thumbnail because he's the battlefield study for today. And then there's a connection to All Marine Radio and the way that I found Workman, which is none other than Mr. Potato Head in Texas. Yeah, Mike. So, at the end of the workman interview, you'll hear Mike, who hopped on after that. And so, what Jeremiah Workman is, and what you'll hear in his interview, and I'll tell you what, it blows me away, because I've listened to this interview before, and every time I listen to it, I learn something different from it. And it's amazing. But why is the work of All Marine Radio? I mean, I woke up this morning, I don't know what time, thinking about it. You know, the indelible impression that he left on me, Staff Sergeant Workman, it's because I'm trying to get him to come on again, and he'd been in my head. So I wanted to play this today, and we'll do that starting at 8 o'clock. And then afterwards, so that interview runs about 2 hours, and then you'll hear Mike after that talking about him. So Mike tells me about Workman and says, hey, you got to get him on the program. So just a thumbnail. Jeremiah Workman is a mortarman. He's from Marion, Ohio. And he's with 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, weapons company. He's an 81s guy, obviously. And so he's in the 2004 deployment. So they're during the Battle of Fallujah. So after the major push in November happens, I want to say it was December or January, I think, and his section is tasked, because they're not shooting mortars on a regular basis. They're gonna you know, carry their share of the load, and they're gonna go out patrolling. So they get into a gunfight, and it's essentially an ambush inside of a mansion compound. When I say mansion, I want you to think huge, huge, huge home, made out of marble, and masonry, just an opulent home in which a fight that there's probably 50 to 75, and then about 25. So there's probably 100 combatants in this mansion as this fight goes on, okay? And so you're going to hear what he did that day. His actions on that day and the actions of his Marines, ultimately, 3 of his Marines are killed, 24 enemy are killed, unknown how many wounded. And I would tell you, if 24 were killed, you could almost double that amount in terms of wounded. So there's 48. I would tell you that there was upwards of 100 guys in that building waiting for them to come down that street and to try to destroy all of those Marines. So Staff Sergeant Workman is awarded the Navy Cross for what he did that day. It's one, which is one down from the Medal of Honor. He had gone home, though, and he, you know, he feels in the aftermath of this fight that he failed, that his inability to get to those guys caused the death of 3 Marines, 3 of his Marines, and he can't get over that. So he starts to drink and act out really suicide gestures, drunk, motorcycle riding at 80 miles an hour through San Clemente, California, hoping that somebody pulls out in front of you. And you'll hear him talk about it. So he goes through that. The Navy Cross is approved after he's his post-traumatic stress diagnosis doesn't really get diagnosed. So they send him, of all places you could send somebody that's just come back from a place like that, is wrestling with issues, to Parris Island, where you get to be involved in very stressful stuff every day as a drill instructor. He's relieved as a drill instructor, and the day after he's relieved, he's awarded the Navy Cross. So in his own eyes, he's a failure. And now, to make matters worse, the thing that has generated this feeling of failure, he's now a celebrity for. and he gets to go on this black tie dinner tour that the Marine Corps arranges. And you know, he essentially is getting drunk every night and doing his Ira Hayes impersonation. And you'll hear him talk about that. And so there's suicide attempts involved in his life. And then he winds up in Quantico at Wounded Warrior Battalion. And you'll hear how he crosses paths with Mike Musselman. And then ultimately, you know, how he finds his way out of that black hole. And so, it is the purpose of All Marine Radio. And so I wanted to, play that interview. If you've never heard it, it'll blow your socks off. And so when I think when, and this is the reason I like this song, when I think of this song, you know, my feeling for this house, our house, with all the holes in the all the patched holes in the walls from people maybe punching them when they get have a little fit of anger. We accept all of it, right? We accept the momentary flashes, and then we look and we start laughing. You know, we're not afraid to walk up to, you know, younger men with prosthetics and say, "Hey, man, where'd you get that?" At the VA. No, no, no. Where did you earn it? Oh, in Al-Qaim in 2004. Well, really, who were you with? And all of a sudden, you just made a friend. Welcome to our house. Paul Ryan speaking right now. Hold on.
Idea of an ideal weekend is not necessarily to spend all of their time with their parents. what I realize is, if I'm here for one more term,
if you haven't,
my kids will only have ever known me as a weekend dad. I just can't let that happen. So I will be setting new priorities in my life. But I will also be leaving incredibly proud of what we have accomplished. Some of you know my story. My dad died when I was 16.
He announced today he will not run for re-election. Paul Ryan, the House Majority Leader.
Again, I spend more time with my kids. When I know if I spend another term, they will only know me as a weekend father. So I'm really proud of what we've been able to do. When I took this job, one of my conditions was that we aim high, that we do big things, that we fashion an agenda, that we run on that agenda, that we win an election, and then we execute that agenda. I am so proud that that is exactly what we have done and what we are doing right now. We've accomplished so much since then. Probably the two biggest achievements for me are, first, the major reform of our tax code for the first time in 36 years. Which has already been a huge success for this country, and that's something I've been working on in my entire adult life. Second, something I got much, much more invested on since becoming Speaker, is to rebuild our nation's military. And after tax reform addressing our military readiness crisis, that was a top priority that we got done last month as well. These I see as lasting victories that will make this country more prosperous and more secure for decades to come. There are so many other things that we have gotten done. And, of course, I'm going to look back proudly on my days at the Budget Committee and the Ways and Means Committee. But I don't want to be too sentimental here. I want to be clear. I'm not done yet. I intend to run through the tape to finish the year. Some of you wonder why I can't just do the normal politician thing, and which is to run and then retire after the election. That is what I'm told is the politically shrewd thing to do. I consider that. But just as my conscience is what got me to take this job in the first place, my conscience could not handle going out that way. I pledged to serve the people of Wisconsin in the first district honorably. And in order to serve the people in my district honorably, I have to serve them honestly. And for me to ask them to vote to reelect me, knowing that I wasn't going to stay, is not being honest. So I simply cannot do that. So that's why I'm announcing this today. Again, I am proud of what this conference has achieved.
Paul Ryan on his way out. Big news today. Well, good luck to him. Congratulations. And for the right reasons, too. That would be, if that's all your kids know you as, that isn't enough. Okay? That isn't enough. Because at the end of the day, you're, and I say this as a son of somebody who was, who was a manager of a Major League Baseball team. My best memories of my dad are things like going to the dump with him and cleaning out the garage with him. They have little or nothing to do with ever going to a baseball stadium. They only have things to do with when he was being my dad. You know, and then my laments in life are when I was alone and I didn't have my dad. So when I evaluate, and so here's to Paul Ryan. And so you'll hear Jeremiah Workman today. And he is, in my opinion, a poster child for the messy way in which warriors sort through their afterlife. And I look at guys like Jeremiah Workman. I look at guys like Ken Rogers. I recently met Dan Hoffman from who did the battle study with Koh Tang Island. You know, Dan Hoffman was a mess. He was a mess at one point in his life, and through the help of battle buddies and through the help of counselors and the Veterans Administration, Dan, you know, has you know, resumed living his life and helped other people. And so it is the purpose of All Marine Radio. We entertain, but at its conception, it was designed to be a place that we come. That's a warm place that we know. And the cool part is that if you're a Marine, it doesn't matter what area you're from, and you listen to All Marine Radio, you know it's a Marine place. By the way we talk, the things we talk about, the shit we talk. You know it, and I love that about it. And so you'll hear Workman today. So I'm in the midst of doing all that this morning, okay? And I get an email, okay? Now I read an email the other day from somebody. And I'll read it again just so you get the sense of this. I get the third email in the sequence. What time is it? Maybe 30 minutes ago. So I've got the Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Workman thing going on. I'm thinking about him. And so the affirmation of what All Marine Radio is about, and on occasion, and it happens on a more and more frequent basis as more and more people listen, that the work is so important simply to tie us together as battle buddies, to let each other know that you're not walking this alone. We're all walking it. Right? And it's okay to be fucked up, because we're all struggling with being fucked up. And to be gentle with, these are so unmarine-like things. Well, being fucked up isn't, but being gentle with yourself, knowing that you're not going to get over it, right? Knowing that you have a menstrual cycle, and some days you can deal with it and some days you can't, and that's okay too. All that shit you don't know, you learn it. Okay? All right, so I'm going to read the first two. There's an email, a PS, and then another email. Okay. And the third email is awesome. It's cool, very cool. Thanks, Mac. So the writer of this email wrote asking me to ask Gunner a question about how do you teach your girl to shoot, because she's not going to probably appreciate my Marine Corps style of instruction. So you got to give him credit. He's at least he at least has enough foresight to understand his limitations. Anyway, so the email says thank you for that. Thanks, Mac. That was an awesome impression of Gunner being a coach. I almost drove off the road laughing. I appreciate the advice. I'll use it above all. Thanks for the show you do every day. I want to personally thank you. You said a month or more ago that we earned our PTSD. I cried my eyes out when you said that. I needed to hear that. I get it now. We earn this shit. It's ours and nobody else's. It's a characteristic of our tribe. I don't feel shame anymore because of your words. It's taken me 11 years, but I'm getting better at it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Please don't stop your, and then in parentheses, our fucking tribe show. You are keeping many of us waking up in the morning. Tell the Gunner I'm getting some 6 and 8 inch China plates. Thanks for the advice. X-rings blow. Semper Fidelis. All right. Then a P.S. P.S. You talk about being all about post-combat mental health. Let me add this. Your show is post-combat mental health. I can't thank you enough. And I'm sure my fiance would as well. Thanks for making me feel normal. I can't put my gratification into words. I can only express it. Thanks, brother. You and your friends are the epitome of Semper Fidelis, and I love living vicariously through you guys. You could take that email and you could fuel your jets for how long? 5, 6, 7, 10 years? Okay. So 35 minutes ago, this thing bombs into my email, right? And it says X's email. So I look at it and I'm like, what? Hi, this is X's mom. You're like, oh shit, somebody's been somebody mom. That's never a good thing, except for today. I listened to your Monday show this morning. When I heard you read the Marine's email about post-traumatic stress disorder, I felt such a connection. Now I know it was my son's email. I'm dealing with my menstrual cycle today, just so you know. I want to add to Luke's gratitude. It has been and continues to be a long road home from Fallujah for him and many others. I believe your program is helping him more than any meds, liquor, or counseling ever did. God bless you and your crew. And then in parentheses she writes, or I guess I should say tribe, close parenthetical. Love and prayers. Should have taken my mind all. From a grateful mom. I mean, how awesome is that? And you know what? The cool thing is, you know, and you'll hear this from Mike and I, you know, Marines, they don't want to be medicated. They want somebody to help them feel normal again. And, you know, the son of a bitch who helped me, Lance Y, has become a bit of a recluse. And so we, you know, out of the blue, he emailed me after. I hadn't talked to him in forever. But he's the one that walked up to me after that helicopter crash in 1993. And he said, you know, you'll never get over this. And it was that introduction before there was a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress that introduced me to the oral tradition of mental health in the Marine Corps. And so if you've never heard the story, helicopter crash in Point Arrow Palms, pilots decapitated, co-pilots crushed to death. Two Marines were alive, you know, and you can imagine the craziness of it. You know, helicopter isn't going to explode. Nobody knows, right? But, you know, there's Marines in there, so what do? You go help. So in the midst of that, we're trying to run a medevac. We're trying to save these guys, stabilize them. You're trying as hard as they can to live. They're trying as hard as they can to live, but it's not working out. And you do this, this dance of death. So those two Marines, a sergeant by the name of Vazarin and a corporal by the name of Schultz. Vazarini's wife was pregnant. Schultz had become a father, I think, 3 months before. Both die. And so why wasn't out there when it happened? He was my company gunny and acting first sergeant. So he comes out later in the day, and he finds me, and he walks up, and he's a big son of a bitch, too, right? So he walks up to me, and he says, hey, Skipper, he says, how are you? And I said, you know, I've been busy. And the way he says it, he's meaning, how am I personally? How are you? And I said, I really haven't thought about it. And that's when he and I have this conversation. And he looks at me and he says, you know, you're never going to get over this. And just in a matter-of-fact way. And I looked at him like, what are you fucking talking about, man? Why would you say that? And he said, well, you need to know that. And then, it's funny, but I'm no stranger to profanity. So if if you have kids in the car, turn this down. But I looked at my company gunny, and I said, I'm not exactly fucking sure, but I'm pretty fucking sure that the fucking therapist doesn't say that fucked up shit to the fucking patient right about fucking now. So why don't you get the fuck away from me? And he looked at me and he said, no, you need to know that. And I said, where did you hear that shit? And he said, from Vietnam guys. He said, I went through something that wasn't nearly like this, and it's helped me. You know, and that struck me. I didn't realize it would probably be the best advice I ever got in my life. It's helped me help my sister to know that you're not going to get over it, so that when it does reach out and grab you, it's a part of being part of the warrior tribe. You know, and that was my introduction to the oral tradition of how Marines help other Marines deal with this. You are going to hear the advice Jeremiah Workman got, and it's pretty funny when he says it. He gets told from a Vietnam veteran, Jeremiah, don't let the monkeys out of the cage. They get out, all hell breaks loose. And what complex idea was being articulated by a high school educated Vietnam Marine to somebody 40 something years later who had gone through a similar experience? And that is, shove that shit in the closet, lock the door, don't go near the handle on the door. In fact, stay out of that room entirely where that door is. And that's how they dealt with it. And so where did they learn that? Where did Y learn that? My gunny. Where did he learn that shit? Where did Jeremiah's friend learn that shit? Well, they learned it from Korean War and World War II Marines. How do you deal with this shit? So that's what we're all about, you know, and there's no way to express in words when you get emails like this, and I'm privileged doing this show, I get them. But I just want to encourage everybody who listens. And look, there's a lot of people that listen that aren't military people, that are dependents or just interested. There's people in your life that are affected by post-traumatic stress, whether it be car accidents or physical violence or cancer or rape or domestic violence. There's all kinds of. The United States military does not corner the market on post-traumatic stress. You can reach out and you can help all those people. You can be a part of what makes their life better. And that's the thing that this program has been dedicated to since the day it started. And it's such a cool thing to see it reach more and more people, to get those kind of emails more often. And also to be able to tell the stories of young men and women who are living this, who fight it every day, and then gain strength from their brothers and sisters who they connect with and they share these things with, and they continue. And I can't tell you how cool it is. It's also cool to connect, for me anyway, to with other people that, that are in similar genres. And for me, one of them is Ken Rogers. He and his wife, Betty, the story about the documentary Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor, about Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines at Khe Sanh. You know, he just, you know, he... His wife, Betty, tells him after one of their reunions, hey, we should record this stuff. This is, stuff is awesome. So they make plans and notify people, and they turn it into a documentary. And if you've never seen it, you can go to a website, Ken's website. Just Google Bravo the Project and Ken Rogers, R-O-D-G-E-R-S, and you'll find him. And he tells the story of what they went through. And then, not just that Khe Sanh, that's just the start of it. You know? The havoc that that stuff wreaks in people's lives as they as their lives unfold. So, so anyway, you'll hear Jeremiah Workman here in the next 23 minutes. And then after Jeremiah Workman, my connection, how that interview gets done, is Mike was in 3-5 after... Mike gets to 3-5, I want to say in 2005. Because he was with us in Ramadi with 5th Marines. He was with headquarters element, 5th Marines, who had been assigned there. And then when he goes back to Camp Pendleton, he gets assigned to be the gunner in 3-5. I want to say in 2005, because in the spring of 2006, he and I are back in Iraq. I'm with 5th Marines, he's with 3-5. In the Fallujah area. And so Mike had met Jeremiah after they had come back from Iraq in 2004. So you'll hear that today. But anyway, I think the power and the lesson that I've learned in all of this, when I think about my house, is don't be afraid to put your hand up. My kids cringe when I do it too. Dad! You can't just ask somebody who's got two fake legs where they got them. I said, oh really? Because I think I do it all the time. And they're like, God. I said, but you know what? They get it now. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. So that's the long-winded open, but good morning. Welcome to my house. And that's why our house is a cool house. It is. It's cool because the courage, the selflessness, would take your breath away. Welcome to my house. Morning comes and you know that you want to stay. All right, let me tell you what we're going to do. Going to do in the news. We'll check some news headlines. Paul Ryan is not going to seek re-election Speaker of the House. Adding to the Republican woes. Who knows if, I guess he lives in a Republican leaning district, so maybe that does or does not affect the math of the House. But electronic warfare in the news, both in Syria, where drones are being jammed, and also in the South China Sea, where, oddly enough, the Chinese have deployed jammers, right, to poke people's eyes out, to keep people from observing what's going on those islands. So why the need to hide, right? It's just a benign military presence on a 10,000-foot runway. So we'll check those headlines. Also, Vladimir Putin warning the United States not to do anything in Syria. All right, as I said, time to pull his pants down. So whatever happens ought to be bigger simply because of that. So that we can look at him and say, nobody is afraid of you, bruh. So we'll check the news. We'll check the news headlines. But electronic warfare, interesting. Our lower-level drones are evidently being jammed in Syria by Russian jammers. Peer-to-peer warfare. All right, so with all that said this morning, I just got another email. Mac. what a jackass. Here's an email entitled The Gunner. Hey, Mac, longtime listener. What's it like to be the Gunner's friend? I bet you really feel honored to be able to call yourself that, right? Well, just thought I'd get that off my chest since he didn't call you last night during the ass chomping between the Red Sox and the Yankees. And it's signed Ekim Namelessum, otherwise known as Michael Musselman. Anyway. Yeah, the Yankees just got annihilated last night. But you know what, boys? That's why it's a marathon, not a sprint. So the Yankees and Red Sox get it on again in Fenway Park. So, yeah, I had to go into self-imposed River City last night. No communications. Because the ass clowns, yeah, the ass clowns would have been swarming. So, in those instances, you just shut it down. Just go to ground and go to sleep. Sun will come up tomorrow. We'll fight again. All right. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. We'll check some news headlines. Jerry, you're going to hear from Jeremiah Workman on an awesome day on All Marine Radio. Dedicated to Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Workman from Marion, Ohio, and every other son of a bitch like him who picks up a rifle and heads that way, not that way. And the only thing I can tell people that have never seen it in person is it will take your breath away. It would make you cry. To see their courage, their selflessness, their humor, the way they take care of each other, it would make you want to do good things for them for the rest of your life. So you can see why we are scarred the way we are. And we are scarred like that because of their courage and selflessness. And that in that organization, those guys call guys like Mike and me, Montana Man, F-18 Man, right? Napa Man. They call us sir. You know, that's pretty humbling. That those kind of courageous people look at you and say, hey, sir. Hello. So this is dedicated to those badasses who walk towards the sound of gunfire and don't flinch. They might yell, oh, shit, but they don't flinch. They're awesome.
Our country's battle in the air of the Red Sea. First of all, so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me tell me Reagan didn't get that one right.
Be clear, as hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Claudian 47 in Quantico. Small craft warning in effect. Sun in 56 at Camp Lejeune. Small craft warnings in effect there. Granbury, Texas, warming up. Mostly cloudy, 63. Montana's warming up. Clouds in 46 degrees in Big Timber, Montana. There is a gale warning, though. What's a gale? It's in effect through ...6 p.m. tomorrow. No, Friday. Major snow... Are you kidding me? Major snowstorm is inbound. So, high today with morning snow showers in Big Timber, Montana is 55. Low tonight with rain is 35. On Thursday, 37 degrees... with a mix of snow and rain. Thursday night, down to 30 and snow, and on Friday, 42. Man, I tell you, Northern Plains, crazy weather. All right, 29 Palms, sun in 64, so it's warming up there. Pendleton, sun in 50. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 73, warming up there. Marcia, cooled off a little bit, sunny clear in 78. And at the home of All Marine Radio, currently 58 degrees on a Wednesday morning under partly cloudy skies. Looking for a high of 70 beautiful degrees today. 70 tomorrow, 79 on Friday. That's how we do it. That's everything the way it's supposed to be. All right, we're going to take a break. You know what? We're not going to take a break. All right. Let me just go over some news headlines for you before you hear from Jeremiah Workman. The here's another email. Mac, what is it like to know the gunner? Look, you've heard him. First of all, he's got more personalities than Sybil, for God's sakes. Okay? What is Sybil only has like 18? Right. Sybil only has 18. How many does Mike have? Oh my God, every day is like reading the tea leaves. What's next? What's going on, Gunner? Hey, what are you doing? And then someday coming in. Then when he's involved in politics, oh my God, he's stalking people on the internet, threatening them, stuff like that. So, yeah, so what's it like to know? There's a reason that, the chat I have is named Ass Clowns. And whenever they send a text, it pops up, ass clowns. Yeah. So, anyway. News. Amid rising threats to Marine Corps flexes its muscles in the Pacific. So we got that going for us. First Japanese amphibious unit activated since World War II, welcomed by U.S. Marines. That's right, boys and girls, misery loves companies. Another interesting article in Marine Corps Times today. Here's how air and ground robots working together will change infantry tactics. You know, now here's the question. What happens when somebody hacks into your unit and then turns those weapons on your own forces? Yeah. First of all, I want to say I'm glad the president's showing some kind of restraint because let me just tell you, I posted a story on the All Marine Radio Twitter feed. So if you're not up on Twitter, get up on Twitter and check out the, cause when I see some, when I see interesting stuff, I try to, post it on, Colleen was telling me what time to pick her up. She'd been sick the last 2 days with a cough. Yeah, not like one of those like coughing, get out of the room coughs because you're bugging me. I'm trying to watch the Yankees. That kind of cough. Yeah, that one. Like, go in the garage and cough like that. What's wrong with you? Anyway, there was a story in the Daily Beast, and it's entitled "The Israeli Airstrike on Syria Monday, a message to Iran, Russia, and Donald Trump." Okay. And really the gist of the article is the days of rolling back Iran and Syria are done. Now what you're going to have is you're on the verge of having a war between Iran and Israel in Syria. That is the next phase of this. Syria, Iran, through Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, has fortified that and turned that essentially into Iwo Jima. Interlocking, interconnecting, hills mutually supporting, underground, blah, 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 blah. Artillery, guns dug into the sides of mountains so they can't be easily destroyed. Okay, that's southern Lebanon. And so Iran is now, in my opinion, changing the dynamic in the Middle East. And you're hearing Saudi Arabia make overtures to Israel. Yeah, I don't know if you missed that last week. Make overtures to Israel in terms of allowing Israeli airplanes to use Saudi airspace. What? Exactly. Why? Because they have a common enemy. The Saudis fight them in Yemen. The Iranians are in Iraq, and the Iranians are in Syria. So the article I posted, and you can check it out on the Daily Beast. Go to the Daily Beast website and you want to read it, type in Israeli airstrike, and the article will come up. Or you could go to the All Marine Radio Twitter feed and read that. But the gist of, and why I cite the article in this, the gist of the article is that the strike, I want to say on the 10th of February, where the Israelis whacked a drone that they had been tracking and then teed up their response, that was designed to be, the term they use in the article is SAMBUSH, S-A-M as in surface-to-air missile, right? So it was a baited ambush for the Israelis to elicit a response, and then they would whoop it on them in the response. And that almost happened. One F-6, for the first time, an F-16 was shot down by Syrian air defenses. Really, Iranian air defenses, all right? So there is a kind of very thin veil over the Iranian effort in Syria. Like, there's a fat Syrian, you know, master sergeant standing someplace in the compound that's about as Syrian as the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, the Quds, if you will. That's about as Syrian as they get. So my admonition on Monday was be careful in the response, because these things could be done provocatively to marginalize, right? By if the Russians, if the Iranians, you know, have templated this and say, okay, if they shoot this, we now have teed up enough, you know, of this technology, of this weapon to deal with that, and then what we'll do is we'll call their asses out. We'll embarrass them in front of the world, and we'll further marginalize the United States. We'll further marginalize the United States in the region. So, so I would tell you it's a great article to read. Yeah, Daily Beast. It's called "The Israeli Airstrike on Syria Monday: A Message to Iran, Russia, and Donald Trump." The message to Donald Trump was, don't think that you can just unass Syria, because there's a bigger problem there than when you started. Before, you just had a Syrian civil war. Now you have Iran seeping in and occupying Syria with its eyes on the destruction of Israel. So that's a bigger issue there, sports fans. Here's another email. Great intro today. PTSG is what needs to be addressed, and you are doing a hell of a job. Saw Workman at Paris Island a few years ago at a reunion at a graduation. He had the 10,000-mile look, but I didn't know why. Then I listened to him. That's from Bob Nielsen. Bob Nielsen is the patron saint of All Marine Radio, just so you know. All Marine Radio does not exist without that son of a bitch. So, so anyway, back to the news. The U.S. carrier Roosevelt displays capabilities in the disputed South China Sea. So, again, it's important we confront the Chinese and let them know what's up. And it's important that other free countries join us in doing that. All right, so that going on. Yeah, here's another email. Mac, the electronic warfare thing is no small deal. That's huge. Just because it doesn't shoot around doesn't mean it's not a provocative, escalating weapon system. Those things sure as hell are. Their introduction into the South China Sea, as well as their active jamming in Syria, that ups the stakes. Yeah, Russia. Again, Russia's faking it, right? Russia's faking it. And so, to me, whatever the response is going to be, and here's the thing that you have to do, and I'm not exactly sure how you do this, but I know we do it. You need to be exactly positively sure, and you haven't heard the Secretary of Defense comment on it, that what the agent was, how it was delivered, and you got to validate those, and you can't do that in 24 hours because you probably don't have access to it. You need some kind of garment, some kind of something that has this chemical on the surface so you can test it. And in short order, you'll know what the agent is, where it came from, and then the way we monitor stuff, you can figure out how it was delivered. All right. And so then you put two and two together and you begin to craft a response. But again, you got to be careful in the response, because the Russians are looking for ways to get the United States out of the region. Right. And the president said, hey, we want out of there. The problem is, as the Israelis kind of laid out for us on Monday, it's not that simple. You can't just unask this problem if you're going to be a world leader. All right. In terms of amid rising threats, the Marine Corps flexes its muscle in the Pacific. The Marine Corps is getting underway with one of its biggest redistributions of forces since World War II, as thousands of Marines are shifting to the Pacific and moving around the region in an effort to prepare to counter rising threats from China and North Korea. At any one time, there are 35,000 Marines forward deployed around the globe. 31,000 of those are with 3MAF spread throughout the Pacific. 22,000 of those are centrally located on the Japanese island of Okinawa. Now the Marine Corps wants to move 9,000 of those forces from Okinawa to regions like Guam and Hawaii. Redistributing the force makes it harder for any near-peer adversary to strike Marine forces. According to Gail von Erkstenberg, the Director of Pacific Division of the United States Marine Corps. You know what? I'd like to say there was that, but a lot of that has to do with the politics and Donald Rumsfeld opening a door to that movement. And Grant Newsham made us smart about that. Right? But moving the force around, is kind of 101 relative to your own security, right? Don't be in one place. So that's in the news. Let me check the early bird after we talk about our amphibious brothers in Japan. Marines with the 31st Expeditionary Unit welcomed and rehearsed alongside the Japanese Amphibious Raid Deployment Brigade at Camp Anbura in Japan, according to Captain George MacArthur, a Marine spokesman with 31st MU. During the activation ceremony, Japanese Marines demonstrated the recapturing of an island. According to Reuters, about 1,500 Japanese Marines were present for the activation ceremony. The new Japanese amphibious unit is strikingly similar to the task organization and capabilities of a Marine Corps expeditionary unit, which is not surprising to anybody who's been involved and seen them repeatedly come and participate in an exercise called Iron Fist. Top five stories on Early Bird. We'll check the headlines on Stars and Stripes, and then we'll get to Jeremiah Workman. And as I said, what you'll hear after Jeremiah Workman is you'll hear Mike Musselman and Mike talking about Jeremiah, which is very, very cool. The top five stories in Early Bird today, number one, let me get to it. One, major players pitch solutions for Navy's next training helicopter. Who gives a shit about that? Two, Jim Inhofe walks back report that John McCain will return to Washington next month. Senator Inhofe, office on Tuesday, walked back a comment that led reporters to believe that Senator John McCain would be returning to Washington, D.C. on May 1 to work on a major defense bill. Senator McCain's health issues, obviously, first and foremost in his life right now. And so you occasionally hear from him out of Arizona. But when he will be back to work full-time, some people said it's not going to happen. Other people said it will. I guess we'll see when we see. Number three, Trump urged to hit Syria harder this time despite the risks. And the risks are that the Russians will shoot back. And so to me, unless the United States wants to appear weak, as Barack Obama did when he drew his red line and then did nothing about it, then you have to find a way to make the Syrians pay. Or else once again, we become emasculated in the Middle East. The question is, how do you do that? And I have no doubt that the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman will figure that out. Because trust me, we have options in the region. Number four, Navy Fleet Forces Commander is nominated for the top military post in the Pacific. The Navy's four-star fleet boss. Admiral Phil Davidson has been nominated by Defense Secretary James Mattis to be the top military officer in the Pacific, a move that keeps U.S. Pacific Command under Navy leadership, according to a Defense Department announcement on Tuesday. And number five, vets groups and lawmakers say they're against it. But what does privatization of Veterans Affairs really mean? You know, we've talked about that on this program, and I think it's a really interesting topic. And so, again, somebody needs to prove to me why veterans, for the basic care, has nothing to do with military stuff, can't go to their local doctor for that. Why we have to have our own system for that. Somebody has to explain that to me. Now, if you're telling me that we need this system, because let me tell you the arguments I've heard against it. Well, if we create a system like that, like, you know, I call it Vetacare. If we create Vetacare and it's too good, then that means more veterans will use it, which drives the cost up. So what the VA provides, it provides adequate care, but it's not too good a care. And so by it not being too good, not that many people use it, which means our costs don't run up. So people that have other options, they go other places. What? Yeah, that's part of the RAND study into what would happen if you went to a privatized system. It would expand the cost 21% or more. Why? Because more veterans would use it. And shit, we don't want that. So we can't make it too good. Oh, my bad. So somebody needs to explain to me why, for general practitioner bullshit, that we've got to go to the VA for that, for those people that choose to do so. Does all that infrastructure and all that, does that allow the VA to then deal with post-traumatic stress and to deal with burns, to deal with amputations, to deal with TBI? Does that allow the VA to do all of that stuff? And that's why you have to have that component in there. So explain to me financially why it works like that. Because to me, can you not offset the marginal increase in cost by laying off all those people, by closing some facilities? Can you not do that? And then the VA becomes a specialty care for veterans with certain maladies associated with combat or service. And they're world class at those things. Is that model not doable? Because I have not heard, in my opinion, a valid reason why, I haven't heard the math behind why privatization is bad. Nobody's laid that out for me. I've heard that these veterans, organizations are all adamantly against it. I don't understand why though. So I'm going to have to get somebody on that can make me smart to that argument, because I sure as hell don't get it. So anyway, and I've had people tell me, hey, the reason it's an industry, that whole incestuous veterans thing. If you did that, all the money, all the lobbying would probably go in different directions. And so what's the first interest, the first Vito Corleone rule of law, right? Rule one, sustain power at all costs. Rule two, refer to rule one in all other instances. So is that it? Or is there a rat? Because I don't get it. All right. We got to take a break after an hour and 11 minutes. We'll take a break. You get to hear from the explosion, and then you'll get to hear from the patron saint, right? Saint Robert of Annapolis. You'll get to hear from him, and then you'll hear from Jeremiah Workman on a day that I just want everybody to hear the struggle that goes on across the country on a daily basis. Why it's important to stay connected. Okay, how hard the struggle is for people, and how deeply you're affected by it. Okay. And in a way that people can't rescue you from. So, with that said, here's the explosion. Stand by for Jeremiah Workman.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.